but you know, $10, $20, it really means a lot to us. You keep us on the air, you can listen to us ramble, and we'll probably be able to do another one of these long 3-hour drawn out pledge drives sometime in the future.
Yes, we'd like to. I mean, it's unpleasant having to ask, but it's really not unpleasant giving, because I think all of us have given at some point too, and you realize that that it's part of the process. The station would not be here were it not for listeners, and that's a fact. You know, commercial radio, and Laszlo can attest to this, commercial radio exists because of the market economy, because people buy things, because that's just how it works. And unfortunately, the radio spectrum, unlike in Yugoslavia, we were just talking to someone at B92, it's just about money here. It's not about speech. It's just about money. And that's sadly how it is in most cases. At 99.5 FM, though, it's about more than that. It's
if this were a commercial station, mm-hmm. we would have auditorium testing.
Auditorium? What's that?
Well, basically what you do is you get a whole auditorium full of the demographics that you're trying to hit, and you would play some music and say, do you like this? Would you like to hear it over and over all day long? And
why? God.
Yes,
we would.
So we could auditorium test your show.
Ah, that's a pretty scary thought. Although we did a show in an auditorium at Beyond Hope.
At Beyond Hope, that was an interesting technical marvel as well.
Yeah, but I think the auditorium response was all right.
You don't have any call-out testing here where people call in? Do you think Emmanuel should change the way
No.
They usually call in and
make their demands known.
Right.
Okay, let's go over the update with the Kevin Mitnick case, and it's quite an update. And unfortunately, we have so much to do tonight that we don't have as much time as we should to devote to this. But if you recall, 2 weeks ago, when we were on the air last, we basically told you of some documents that we had released on the web, documents that it's kind of a exaggeration. Is that a nice word for it? Where certain companies said that they were hurt by Kevin's accessing their systems or getting hold of their source code. Taking a look at NEC here, claiming $1,750,000 based on the development cost for the stolen software. Again, it's software that was looked at, not stolen, because it was still there.
That one's actually in the low end.
That is very much in the low end. Some of these Nokia mobile phones estimated $135 million.
Oh, yeah.
We got a hold of these documents. One of them, in fact, came from Sun Microsystems, and they, in a very roundabout way, claimed that that their product was worth more than $80 million, and implied that Kevin breaking in caused that kind of damage. We found on the web, if you go to the Solaris website, and this is reflected on our 2600.com website. We found that it's available for nothing.
Yes.
For nothing. And in fact, they say, Solaris says, that they always have believed that source code should be available to students and enthusiasts. It's important. It's vital.
Well, if you're a student, it's free. If you're an enthusiast, it's $100.
At the most, it would cost $100. So what we did was a little calculation, and we figured if everybody exaggerated to this degree, and probably everybody exaggerated a lot more than this, Kevin's total damages for all the heartache and anguish he caused is something on the order of $350. That's what we're looking at right here. We saw an estimate of nearly $300 million in damages. We printed the letters, put them up on the website, and guess what? Things hit the fan. It was after we got off the air last week that we found out about this. And that's that... basically, the federal government got wind that these documents were out there and filed a motion to hold Kevin Mitnick's lawyer in contempt of court for allowing these documents to be released. Now, first of all, there is no indication that that is where we got the documents. They're making a very gross assumption by even saying that. But second of all, why? Why would anyone say that these documents that detail the losses, which is what this is all about, why should that remain secret? Why in God's name would you keep something like that secret? Well, they want to. And in fact, they succeeded. The judge a week ago had a hearing where she did not object to the federal government's request to keep any further revelations of damages secret. We're not going to hear about it until sentencing. So there'll be absolutely no way to hear any of the evidence. It's supposed to all be kept secret.
Well, they don't want any out there because it's so ridiculous.
Well, I think what this proves is that public opinion does matter. When people saw this, they started contacting these companies. And these companies, by the way, they claim to have lost all this money. Do you know not one of them has filed any kind of statement to its stockholders saying they lost this kind of money? Do you know that's a violation of the Securities and Exchange Commission rules and quite possibly IRS rules as well? People are starting to ask questions. And these companies are getting very nervous now as it becomes apparent that either they lied to everybody about the extent of Kevin Mitnick's hacking into their system and what kind of damage it caused, or they lied to their stockholders and didn't report a major loss. Which is it? You know, we want some answers. Now, what I imagine happened is that these companies started contacting the FBI saying, hey,
we don't
want to be involved like this anymore. Please get us out of this mess. And, of course, the FBI is very upset now, too, because all of a sudden people are starting to realize the whole thing has been a charade the whole time. Throughout it all, Kevin Mitnick remains in prison, and he basically has stayed in there since February 15th, 1995, over 4 years.
Didn't we run into a Nokia employee at the Dayton Hamvention?
Well, we saw one. We saw a Nokia employee, but that was it.
How did you identify him as a Nokia employee?
They looked broke because they were, Kevin took all that money.
He had a Nokia hat on. That was pretty much it. That doesn't really say he was a Nokia employee.
Well, people were walking around Dayton in TCF with 2600 hats on that they had just bought.
That's true, too. They weren't all 2600 employees, but...
Sure.
Okay, so now we have demonstrations taking place on the 4th of June, which is Friday the 4th of June. And very briefly, we've added some cities since the last time we were on the air. No doubt we'll add some more next time we're on the air, which is in 2 weeks. Those cities are Buffalo, Chicago, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, New York, Omaha, Nebraska, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Spokane, Washington, and Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And every single one of those demonstrations will be starting at 2 p.m. outside the federal courthouse building of those cities. And again, if you want to check the status, see the exact location, talk to the coordinating people, go to www.2600.com/demo or just the main page and you'll see a big reference to it there. And if you want to start something on your own, please feel free to mail us June4@2600.com. It's very important that we have a massive turnout throughout the country on that day where we'll be handing out leaflets, maybe holding picket signs, whatever it is you feel is right to do. If you just want to stand on the corner and hand out leaflets, that's fine. In San Francisco, there's going to be a not skywriting. What is that?
A plane with a
banner in the back of it.
Did we in New York figure out a way to top that?
We were
racking our brains.
There was talk of the Goodyear blimp, but so far we haven't heard back from the right people on that. And somehow I don't think Free Kevin is going to qualify as a public service announcement. I don't know. even though we think it is, I don't know. But again, please, if you have ideas, if you have connections, anything we can do that would be a really cool thing to do.
They take PSAs?
Yeah,
maybe like, Free Kevin, get a mammogram. Something like that.
We have to think creatively, definitely. Or skywriting, just skywriting. That might be kind of cool.
The airspace over the city is somewhat...
But if you go high enough, it doesn't matter if you're over the city.
Well, if you go high enough, A, you're not going to be able to read the skywriting. And
They have skywriting out on Long Island all the time.
Oh, yeah, Long Island.
All the time.
Oh, above Jones Beach and stuff like that.
Well,
that
even,
would be pretty cool.
Even if... You know, it's on Long Island, not in the city. They could
that works.
Put Free Kevin and a big arrow pointing towards the city with a demonstration. I don't know. Well, something.
Towards California, yeah.
Anyway, that's the point, to get people out there. And also, by the reactions of the prosecution over the past week or so, we know that it's working. We know that they're getting nervous. We know that they have something to hide. They don't want it to get out there. So Yeah. It's working, folks.
But public opinion is playing a very big factor in this case. And you, the public, and your support for WBAI by calling 212-209-2950 shows that you care about the station and you want us on the air to tell you about these incidents like Kevin Mitnick and some of the other things we talk about here.
Okay. We are at $3,760, and we're very appreciative to the people there. We're going to have another guest joining us in just a little while. Bernie, I'm going to try to figure out a way to keep you on the line, assuming you want to stay around.
Sure, I'll stay around if possible.
Okay, great. What we're going to do now is something that we do every now and then, and that is satisfy the curiosity of people who listen to the show, who have listened to the show over the years. They always want to know, what is the opening theme? Who does the opening theme? Where can I get the opening theme? Well, the answer to most of those questions is I don't know. Because it's something that I don't think is in print.
He doesn't remember.
It's something I don't think is in print. And, you know, it was so difficult to find just the right version of this.
Hey, what's that really large black disc type thing?
This is what I understand to be a form of music that...
Wow, that is larger than a CD DVD.
Yeah, it's black. And apparently what they did was they printed the music directly onto this.
What are the groove patterns?
Black disc. I don't really understand the technology myself. But let me get on with the explanation here of what this is. It's from a band called Big Audio Dynamite, which you've probably heard of, and we've played several times on the show. In fact, one of the CD-ROMs is an interview with that band. So if you're interested in that, get the CD-ROM and you'll hear that yourself.
It is indeed on there.
But there is a single they had called Just Play Music. This is what's known as an extended mix, a 12-inch extended mix of that particular single. Now, the thing is, there are several versions of it. Even though it's a hard song to find, there are several versions of it, or of the release anyway. There is one 12-inch EP that had two versions of Just Play Music and had a picture of a radio that says Big Audio Dynamite on it. It says, turn on your radio, just play music. Then there's a second version that has the same cover and a slightly more flimsy material that's packaged in. It says, turn on your radio, just play music. But on the B-side, instead of Just Play Music remix, is a song called Much Worse. Extended mix, and it says 6:48, meaning the time. But then there's a little sticker on there that says, timing correction, B-side runs 5:23 minutes, not 6:48 minutes. So,
whoops.
I don't know what that was all about, but there are two versions of Much Worse. One is longer than the other, and I'm not entirely sure, because I didn't have access to one of these big record players until just now. I'm not sure which one we're going to hear, if we're going to hear the shorter one or the longer one. I'll know at the end of the song which one it was, obviously. Because there's a third version, and this one says Big Audio Dynamite, Just Play Music, but it's got a picture of two people on the phone on the front of it, and...
That's appropriate.
That has an extended mix of Much Worse on the B-side without any time given. So that's what you have to go through to find that song. It's called Much Worse. It was by Big Audio Dynamite, and it came out in, perfectly enough, 1988. So without any further ado, let's listen to that. When we come back, we'll continue with this extended version of Off the Hook.
No matter what people say, these songs lead the way. It's all of your different boss DJ, Don. The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. And now I got a headache, or maybe it's the tooth. I'm in the know. They stood and much worse, I got to tell the truth. No, it couldn't.
Да на боке тона, эй, бедята, эй, бивайка, эй, бегаю, дай нам айпо.
Си санцету.
Actually, hadn't heard the whole thing of that before. And now the first time for me is probably many of our listeners.
Needle has moved all the way to the end of the device there.
Bring up the sound where it starts skipping.
It is up. It's just not making that much of a noise.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's as loud as it's going to get.
Wow.
That's I don't know. Maybe those people are right when they say that sounds crisper.
It does
on a LP.
I actually like hearing the little crackle in the background. It's
what I love is people produce albums now, and they insert Crackle into the digital audio system.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, that's the kind of thing you expect from commercial radio, yeah, right? Yeah. The kind of fakeness. I don't know.
It's your wonderful AAD recordings.
Yeah. Anyway, the program is off the hook. We're here tonight. We're winding down a special three-hour show. I've got Isaac over there. We have Laszlo from commercial radio over here. And have on the phone Bernie S. You still there, Bernie?
I'm still here in Philadelphia.
And joining us now from Michigan is Daniel Morgan, who is president of Morgan Aerospace Incorporated. Is that correct, Dan?
Yes. Good evening, everyone.
Okay. Can you speak up a bit more?
Yes. How was that? Is that
better? Still very low. Yeah, please. Sound like you're calling from a distant planet. Ah.
How is that?
Much
that
better.
Whoa.
Except for those horrible noises, it's just great.
Except for the ear piercing feedback.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I think we're that's okay now. Now Danny, you publish a newsletter called Satellite Watch News, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
And recently within the last year or so, you seem to have ruffled some feathers. We're used to ruffling feathers around here, but in your case, you ruffled feathers of someone who decided to go out and sue you for what you did. You want to give us an outline of what this is all about?
Okay. Basically, what we do is we publish a magazine. It's monthly, entitled The Satellite Watch News. The Satellite Watch News publishes the untold reality about an industry that likes to pretty much keep total control over what it does and what actually goes on. And unfortunately for the people who are programming, sending signals to the satellite, their encryption system was real vulnerable, and it was hacked. Reporting the honest truth about it, this industry, we ended up in a lawsuit in federal court, with DirecTV being the plaintiff and suing us, trying to force us to cease and desist our publication.
Now, when did this take place?
The suit was filed back, oh, geez, it was, July of 98. And prior to that, they had sent us a cease and desist letter and threatening us with all sorts of litigation if we just didn't go away, and we refused to go away because of the Constitution that entitles us to print material like this.
Yeah, that little piece of paper that, you know, came out 1770-something, yeah.
Yeah.
It really seems as in the publishing industry that more and more publications are being challenged on a daily basis, and that the Constitution that's been around for, 100 years or so, really isn't worth the paper it was written on. People can file lawsuits against you and try to terminate, literally make you extinct, take away your existence.
Now, you basically published something about... You basically published something about how to defeat a system, how a system was defeated by somebody somewhere, how it was vulnerable. Maybe very much the same kind of thing we do at 2600, except it had to do with a commercial entity that sends satellite signals to people, and those people are supposed to pay for those signals. Now, what was the hack? Someone figured out a way to get around the little card they stick in the machine.
Exactly. Basically, the encryption system is based on a smart card, if you will. And what happened is a group of guys got together, and like many smart cards, I'm sure you guys are pretty familiar with smart cards, they interrogated it. They basically wanted to find out how it worked, what was required to compromise the system, if in fact it could be compromised. And a bunch of engineers got together, and they worked day and night, and they found the loopholes in the encryption system and were able to make it basically come up in plug-and-play type situation, plug it in, away it went, and people who were operating DirecTV systems purchased one of these and actually had all the programming for one fee. The programmer... became aware of this several months after it happened, through our publication, by the way, and started doing countermeasures only after they purchased one of these devices from one of the people who sell them. They basically supplied out of Canada. this type of hacking is legal in Canada, and they don't condone it here in the United States. However, product apparently does end up here, and DirecTV found us to be, I guess you might say, too good of a source. They, you know, we must do well at what we do if they're suing us for basically writing about their magazine. Of course, the allegations in the suit go far beyond just publishing a magazine. They accuse us of many things. But, you know, I guess the only way you get sued nowadays is if you're doing something and doing it well.
Well, you certainly seem to get a reaction that way. Now, if I understand correctly, the people who are hacking this system aren't actually, they're not breaking into a computer system. They're not dialing into something remotely. They're taking something in their homes. They're taking a piece of equipment that they assume they've bought, a receiver of some sort. They're taking a card, which they've also bought, and they're figuring out a way to make that card react in a different way.
That's correct.
And these signals are being beamed into their home. They did not ask for these signals to be beamed into their home. They're coming in because they're coming into everyone's home.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying, what they're alleging is that just doing this, or in your case, even talking about this, is illegal.
It's taboo, yes. That's exactly what they're saying. And in my eyes and many other people's eyes, it's a reporting on an industry that basically the satellite industry has gotten corrupt. It's a very, very corrupt industry. There's so many players allowed, and those don't play by the rules end up being in big trouble, including the people who publish magazines in this trade. They're trying to bully people, and I have taken the stance. I mean, I am not a rich man at all, but I've taken the stance, doggone it, there is a constitution. I do have a right to publish. I don't sell. They claim I have aided and abetted through my publication. All I'm doing is telling the truth about an industry that basically it's gone astray. They don't want no one to know about it. And most of your bigger trade magazines that get large advertising from folks like DirecTV mm-hmm. don't publish any of the untold stories.
Well, you know, we seem to be coming back to a theme, and you weren't with us for the first part of the program, but we were comparing commercial radio and non-commercial radio, and how if someone sponsors you, all of a sudden you don't talk about certain things. So I imagine in those magazines, because they are sponsored in part by DirecTV, they don't talk about things that DirecTV might not like. Now, your magazine, Satellite Watch News, on the other hand, you're pretty much commercial free as far as content.
Exactly.
You talk about the news of the satellite industry, which is exactly what the title says, Satellite Watch News. And I was reading it the other day. I actually met you at the Hamfest, and I couldn't put it down. I was just reading all about satellites. But you know, the funny thing about it was that a lot of the information was about DirecTV, and it wasn't negative information. It was talking about their channel expansions, their programming, things that, you know, they would normally pay to get this kind of information out.
Emmanuel, I will say with that we're probably the only fully unbiased publication in the entire industry. We tell it the way it is, and we report on all aspects of it. We're not we've been classified as the hacker journal extraordinaire. We are not that. We tell the entire story about an industry, and if a system is being hacked in the satellite industry, that's as much satellite industry news as General Instruments developing a new decoder for the industry. It's not our fault that News Datacom, the people who provided DirecTV with their encryption system, that they built basically a flawed device. If it was a good device, we wouldn't be writing about it in the way we do. It is not a good device. It was very vulnerable, and they could have used much better circumstances for security or much better encryption algorithms. The problem was that they used an encryption system that has, in fact, been hacked for years in Europe.
Well, it's also basically threatening one of the brightest revenue models of all time. People pay to have stuff to decode these signals, to come into their house, to watch channels that have commercials on them. That is the cable television and that whole industry amazes me, because it's like, okay, you want me to pay $50 a month so that you can sell commercials to people and I watch them. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, basically this is just about watching TV. People want to watch television, so they try to figure out a way to to get these programs, this information. I get DirecTV. I like DirecTV. I think it's kind of cool to be able to get all these channels. I'm able to see BBC now and some Canadian stuff, and it just seems to be better than cable. But the weird thing is, if it's priced low enough, obviously people will find it reasonable and they'll pay for it, and everybody will be happy. But if it's priced too high, then that's when you start running into some difficulty. Now, the weird thing about DirecTV as opposed to cable, there is really very little expense that they have to put in. A cable TV company has to wire a neighborhood. They have to provide you with the box. They have to make sure the wire comes to your house. They have to fix things if they go wrong. And they charge a price based on all of that. Now, let's look at what DirecTV has to do. They have a satellite up there. Okay, that probably cost them something to put that satellite up there. But now that it's up there, they're beaming down a signal. If 100 people get one of their stations, then they charge people a certain amount of money. If 1,000 people get their stations, they charge the same to all those 1,000 people. 10,000, 100,000, however many people, every time more people are added, they just make more money. There's no more investment for them. They don't have to make more boxes because you buy the equipment. They don't have to wire neighborhoods because it's coming through the air. So I think that's rubbing people the wrong way, because obviously something should be happening if the service is becoming increasingly popular, then the rate should be going down, shouldn't they?
You would think so. The most ironic situation here is in the litigation. I don't know if you had time to read the entire lawsuit. But in the litigation, they claim that we are, through our publication, we've caused them great harm. The actual ratio, and I've compared this with other people who are definitely involved in, providing these compromised cards, our advertisers, they figure the actual ratio is 25,000 people actively using these things.
Mm-hmm.
DirecTV has over 5 million subscribers.
Wow.
So the actual damages are very minimal. However, they claim there is many, many more. And the other trade pubs, they write that there's upwards of 1 million to 2 million people using these cards, and that is not true at all. But anyway, the big thing is here is they're lambasting us for doing what is legally allowed in this country, and that's publishing a magazine.
Also, if on one of the pages of the lawsuit, they're accusing you of advertising, promoting, and arranging the sale and use of counterfeit DSS access cards and other illegal signal theft devices through, and this is the interesting part, through your distribution and sale of satellite watch news and Pirate Video 9, which is a videotape. Now, that's interesting. They're not, in this particular part anyway, they're not saying that you're selling the cards, but by putting out your magazine and having a video, you are responsible for what's going on. Now, that's a really scary leap of logic right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's very frightening. It doesn't make sense to me at all. Our attorneys are having real, real problems trying to make sense out of this. However, I guess in this country, anyone who wishes to sue someone can do it just by merely filing a lawsuit. Proving this frivolous, and I think we both know just by looking at it, that it is basically a very frivolous lawsuit.
There were no criminal charges filed, is that right?
No, there was no criminal charges filed at all.
So they're seeking monetary damages?
In a criminal court, there'd be no case against you.
That's correct. The federal prosecutor has not, from what I understand, has not even looked at any part of this and really cares not to. One thing I might mention that may be of interest, years back, prior to DirecTV, 5 years ago, there's the Big Dish that was compromised, and the encryption system there that was used was called VideoCipher. I don't know if you guys know anything about that, but the neat thing is General Instruments, the people who provided that security, never challenged this magazine whatsoever. As a matter of fact, their head security officer, Jim Shelton, actually looked forward to each and every publication as a means to go after the actual people who were selling the stuff. So mm-hmm. we were never challenged by General Instruments at all. It was DirecTV is the one that took the first step in challenging the publication.
They also say, and this is kind of interesting too, they refer to the videotape, and they say that Pirate Video 9 includes clips and footage from a number of copyrighted motion pictures and other protected programming. As the programming appeared on the DirecTV's digital satellite system, the videotape also displays the DSS logo and DirecTV's programming menus, and that your reproduction is without authorization or consent, as if changing a channel, which is literally what it is. I watched the video earlier today. Changing a channel, you're violating a copyright by showing how a channel gets changed and flashing the program as it goes by.
We've done that under the Fair Use Act, 60 mm-hmm. seconds or less.
This was 1 second or less.
Yes, right. But we've done that under the Fair Use Act. And, of course, if you noticed at the end of the videotape, Direct Television was given credit in the credits that mm-hmm. they rolled. For the actual video.
Uh-huh.
Are they charging you with any kind of copyright violation?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Is that, so I guess that's part of it, showing their logo.
Yeah.
And like, leaving images from their screen on your video constitutes, in their minds, a copyright violation?
Yes.
That's pretty scary. So now, this is a civil suit filed by DirecTV. It's not a legal suit, at least.
Yes, it's just a civil suit filed in federal court, basically, Michigan.
And what are they asking for as far as damages?
Well, basically, the damages they're asking for are under the actual federal statutes. If I were charged criminally by a federal prosecutor, it would be the same awards under those sections of the USCs that could be judged against me in an actual federal criminal suit. So that's what they're asking for in damages, which could end up being multiples of millions of dollars should they succeed and win.
And even if they don't succeed, how much have you already had to worry about as far as...
We're looking at $300,000, and so far to date we've spent about $50,000.
Have you considered a countersuit to make up for the losses and legal fees?
There is very large considerations right now going on between myself and legal counsel as the next step to take. And there may very well, possibly sooner or later, be an antitrust suit filed based on some information that we've just learned about DirecTV.
Have you contacted the ACLU?
Yes, and talked briefly, and nobody has returned any of our calls.
Oh, that's the ACLU we know.
Well, yeah.
they tend not to do that. I'm very familiar with that.
You mentioned EFF, but evidently that's not
they're
going to get.
I don't think they're going to care about satellites anyway. I imagine you've talked about this pretty openly in your magazine.
Oh, yes, I have. Yes,
how has the response been to that?
We are getting some legal contributions. They're not substantial enough. I mean, it's a struggling battle. Let's face it, we're having trouble raising all the necessary money that we're going to need. Our attorneys tell us it could be upwards of $300,000 just to get it to jury trial. If we do get it to that point, I feel very confident that we will win.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of getting it there.
You know, it's really disturbing to me, especially because I'm involved in this kind of thing on a daily basis involving computer hackers. But for someone to sit there and tell me that I am not allowed to take a card in my own house and try and figure out how it works in a machine. First of all, as I said, I already subscribe to the system. I already pay for it. How is it illegal for me to try and figure out how it works? I mean, what are they going to charge me with if I figure out how it works since I'm already paying for it in the first place? How can they twist people's brains like this? It's ludicrous.
According to the USC's, the 47605,
mm-hmm.
In this country, it is illegal to own or possess a device that allows you to compromise satellite television programming based only on transmission from a program provider to a cable provider that resells the signal to an end user, which would be, of course, the cable homeowner. There's not really a great deal in that section that covers direct-to-home broadcasting. So this lawsuit very well could open up a whole new avenue for legalized television hacking in the United States. The case has to be tested.
Mm-hmm. So imagine the legislative history on the existing law pertains to pre-DBS, is that right?
Yes, that's pre-DBS.
Bernie, I have to tell you, you're coming in extremely low, so our listeners aren't able to hear you, unfortunately.
How about that?
So, I think it's our fault. I don't think it's your fault. So even if you scream, I think that might be a problem. But if something really important comes up, scream as loud as you can.
I can hear Bernie fine on this. Right?
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. You can hear him, but the rest of us can't, unfortunately.
Okay.
So now, where it stands now is that you're being sued by DirecTV for printing articles and for putting out a videotape. And what's the next court date, I guess?
Well, right now we're in depositions. Mm-hmm. We have to get through that. Of course, they're subpoenaing everything right down to my Visa and MasterCard records. They have subpoenaed my bank statements, my cellular phone calls. They have been through once up and down one side and down the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we need to get through the depositions. The actual court date is set sometimes towards the end of the year.
So basically, this is, even if it's proven to be completely without merit, it's tying you up in court. It must be hurting the magazine.
Yes, it is. It's damaging us very badly. It's taking our needed financial resources to continue on. And so far, we've been able to do that with the little support that we've had, but we need a lot more support.
Tell us something about Satellite Watch News.
Well, again, Satellite Watch News is a publication that's published monthly. There's 12 issues a year. It's totally unbiased. It reports the truth, the honest facts about what's going on in the industry. If you want to know what's happening, again, with DSS, how it's being hacked, when it does happen, that information's in there. If DirecTV is going to be having a big prize fight, they're going to be doing a system upgrade, it's in there. All the information that you need to know about an industry that is basically a very big part of America entertainment is in this publication.
And how long have you been coming out?
10 years.
10 years.
So your audience is from the casual user, or rather the casual viewer, all the way up to the gentleman who's interested in all of the technical aspects. And
exactly, yes.
Excellent.
It's interesting because, like I said before, when I was at the Hamvention, I was reading the magazine, and you know, I could only see this as a good thing for the people running these services because it spreads information. But at the same time, it spreads education as well, and how the technology actually works. And people should be interested in this. They shouldn't just be, you know, consumers who just simply subscribe and never ask any questions. It's more than that. Don't you want to know how the technology works? Don't you want to know what the weak points are? And doesn't DirecTV benefit from learning where the weak points are as well? Imagine if there wasn't a magazine to say this. Imagine if it was all done secretly. You know, it's there's two ways of looking at everything.
You know, again, I was talking earlier about General Instruments during the C-band, the big dish days, the big 10-foot dishes.
Right.
Most people call Buds the big ugly dish.
Yeah.
Anyway. The neat thing about that is General Instruments Corporation. Now, these folks are very large into the cable and satellite encryption. They learned how to build a better box from our publication, and they finally did. And it, to this day, has not been hacked.
Interesting.
Yes.
And what, do you think people will just stop trying, or do you think you know, they're still trying to figure it out?
Well, I think people found a better avenue, a quicker money-making avenue as far as the people who resell the hacking products in DirecTV's venue. But I think General Instruments finally built the ultimate go-ahead-and-try-to-break-it-if-you-can box, and it's been very difficult.
Maybe they're trying to recoup the money from all these satellites that have been exploding in the abyss. And like, in the last year, I mean, like four rockets blown up.
Yeah,
or something.
Titan 4s have been going boom.
Surprised they don't blame you for that.
Well, that very well could happen one day. Oh, my goodness. It was incredible. Did you guys get to see the Chinese landmark go up when they were going to launch Echo Star 1?
No.
It left a pad in China. It took off, got up about 500 feet, made a U-turn, and took out a village.
Oh, yeah, I did see that on CNN. I did see that.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
I guess they won't be watching TV for a while down there. Oh, we're speaking with Daniel Morgan, who is the publisher of Satellite Watch News, and we're in the tail end of our special Off the Hook program for tonight, and
mention the phone number.
Yeah, well, I'm about to do that because we're about to mention a special offer that people should know about involving just this. That's right. You can become part of the controversy. You can learn things that they don't want you to learn about by calling us 212-209-2950 and pledging $75. You will get a year subscription to Satellite Watch News. Not only that, a year of Satellite Watch News, and the videotape that was mentioned in the indictment. The videotape that in itself is a crime,
dun, dun, dun.
According to these people. A videotape that shows you how the technology works, what it's all about, and they don't want you to know about this. So you get a year's worth. A Satellite Watch News, that's 12 issues. You get the videotape, and we even throw in a 2600 T-shirt. So that's quite a lot of stuff there for a mere $75 pledge. And we're in the home stretch.
And what's that number, Emmanuel?
212-209-2950. And again, consider this. We're a non-commercial station here in New York City, broadcasting to the world through the Internet and over the FM radio waves. How many other places have you heard this talked about? Not very many. You know why? Because DirecTV sponsors these radio programs on other radio stations. They sponsor the entire station.
I actually did a rant on Gateway, and radio stations wouldn't run it because Gateway is advertises on that station.
Can you believe that?
I went mental. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they have total control.
I cannot say that my Gateway laptop died 5 times and had to get shipped back to the North Pole or wherever those guys are.
In the Happy Cow Box?
I could not talk about that on the radio because Gateway spends some money on the station.
But you know what, Laszlo? You're talking about it here on this radio station. You're able to come here and talk about how bad your Gateway is. What else do you want to get off your chest?
No, some stations ran it. There was only two or three. There was actually one in New York that refused to run it.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you like that? Right here in New York, the enlightened capital of the world,
right.
And we censor our radio
right.
station because the sponsors
right.
don't want it to be said.
Right. Stations in Nebraska ran it, but here in New York City.
Wow. So this is what we're offering you here, and by calling us, you're voicing support for the radio station, for freedom of speech, so that we can have more people like Daniel Morgan join us and tell their tales of woe as the big corporations strike out against the individuals.
The number is 212-209-2950.
Again, $75 pledge for the one-year subscription to Satellite Watch News, the videotape, and a T-shirt. Again, we still have those other packages available, the mega package. Every last issue of 2600 Magazine ever published from 1984 on to the present. And also,
that's enough to get you indicted.
You're talking about incriminating material.
They find that in your next raid, and you're out.
That's for a pledge of $250, plus you get the obligatory T-shirt with that. Or if you want to listen to our happy voices for the last 10 years or so, pick up the 4-CD-ROM set of every episode of Off the Hook from 1988 to 1997. And also, again, your T-shirt comes with that. I pity the people who don't like T-shirts.
You're getting one.
That's for a pledge amount of $150. But please, the important thing, the numbers 250, 150, 75, they don't matter as much as 212-209-2950. Call that number. They have all the information there. Ask them whatever questions you have. Maybe there's something else that we have at BAI that you prefer that's not related to Off the Hook. We have so many different things. We have so many different programmers here. The most important thing is for you to contribute something so you can show your support so we can make that number grow. Remember we started... We did the interview with the B-92 person live from Belgrade, Yugoslavia, and after we finished that interview, the number on our tally screen, this was about 8 o'clock at night, the number was zero.
Mm-hmm.
It was zero because we hadn't asked for money, obviously. We hadn't asked during the first hour. We just talked to somebody in Yugoslavia.
We mentioned it casually.
After that, the calls started flying in. The calls really started flying in, and right now we are at $4,585. So that shows the power of individuals who join forces and show their support for a radio station. Remember, we don't have commercials here, but we have you. And that is just so much more preferable because That way we can give you what you want, what Wall Street wants, even though we're right here on Wall Street.
Yes.
It's kind of ironic what our address is.
And when you give money to it, I mean, I know when I give money to stations, you feel like you're part of a club, you know, like you've contributed, like you've helped it out. And it's something to feel proud about, you know, that you're, you know, that you're supporting the cause and something that the community needs and appreciates instead of just, you know, going through the drive-thru.
Yeah, it is something you feel proud about. I've given money to radio stations before. The one time I regretted it was when I gave money to my local PBS station because they wouldn't stop calling me afterwards wanting me to do it again. For 10 years after I did that, I was getting postcards. They must have spent every last penny I gave them just to mail me junk over the last 10 years. But regardless, we don't do that kind of thing. We don't have these mass mailing businesses going on. But when you do something like that, you do feel really good afterwards. When you participate in a demonstration of something you believe in, you feel really good after you did something because you're showing your true feelings. You're participating in a cause. You're adding something to it. Now, Daniel, you've been pretty intimidated by all these high-priced lawyers that want you to buckle in. What is it that keeps you going?
I guess after spending 3.5 years in Southeast Asia, it's all worth it in the end. I mean, I believe in the Constitution. There's not many of us left, Emmanuel, that'll stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, you might be General Motors, which DirecTV is, by the way.
That's right.
General Motors Hughes Aerospace.
That's right. You know, you forget about these things. You forget about what companies own what companies.
But I think if you're doing an honest thing, and we are doing an honest thing, we're publishing a magazine, a mere magazine. We write about it. We have connections in the industry that basically no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us what happens.
It's almost flattering to be considered a threat.
It's almost incredible because actually where we're based, folks, we are based in northern lower Michigan. Population in the town that we're in is 540. And our magazine is read by many people around the country. And the flattery, I guess, is when DirecTV said, hey, this guy must be good because he's got us very irritated, so we're going to sue him.
Well, it's not like you're inciting violence or anything. I mean, basically,
what
happens? Some guy gets to watch WrestleMania for free, okay?
That's it. WWF for free. I mean, we didn't even sell him the damn car.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. We just wrote about something that was happening in the industry. What people do with our information is up to them. We're not babysitters to the world. We publish a magazine. It's to inform people.
You know, what's incredible here is that no matter what it is we're talking about, whether it's to someone trying to run a radio station in Yugoslavia, someone trying to get out of prison for being a computer hacker, or someone like you who publishes a newsletter, it all comes down to control of information, what people in high places don't want everybody else to know about. And so many times those are the people that wind up winning simply because they use fear and intimidation, whether it's soldiers, whether it's lawsuits, whether it's prisons, whatever. And that's what we have to stand up against. We have to show the power of the individual.
Emmanuel, let me interject something here.
Mm-hmm.
DirecTV has filed several lawsuits. They filed several lawsuits in Canada against the actual people who are distributing these products.
But isn't Canada still a country
what
that's
happened,
not...
What happened is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who conducted the search and seizures and the raids, were bought off by DirecTV, an American corporation. They were literally bought off. Their dollars influenced the Canadian government enough that their government, the Canadian people's government, would turn against them. Now tell me, that is not scary.
That's extremely scary. It seems like borders mean less and less these days when it comes to American corporations.
Well, the problem here is it's not even a matter of a treaty. It is an American corporation saying, hey, for X amount of dollars, we want you to go do this to this guy, this guy, and this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hitman.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. Definitely.
They're doing that. And that is the most, to me, that is the most irritating thing in any country, to turn against one's people. That, oh, my goodness. I mean, there's just not enough bad I can say about that.
212-209-2950. Please, these are the last few minutes of our fundraiser on this radio show. Obviously, the fundraiser is going to continue past that, and we won't be on next week. We'll be on in 2 weeks at our usual time, 8 p.m. But please give us a call now. Let's get a final flurry. 212-209-2950. We're speaking with Daniel Morgan, who is a publisher of Satellite Watch News. I see a lot of parallels between this and 2600. And a lot of the same fierce devotion to freedom of speech and the right of people to know something. So please, by giving us a phone call, you'll be getting a year of that newsletter. You'll see for yourself just what it's all about. You also get a copy of the videotape, which they also don't want you to see. They want that to be. I imagine they want you to destroy all copies of that. Is that right?
Exactly.
Wow.
They in the actual subpoenas that we received and. I believe somewhere in the lawsuit, I just don't happen to have it right in front of me right now. They wanted, no, actually, it was in the discovery. They wanted all the outtakes. There was no outtakes. We do video, we do it once, and that's it. And the thing, they wanted all that stuff. They have subpoenaed all of our records, our bank statements, my email.
They want
my email. My ISP called me one day and says, Dan, he says, what's going on?
At least he knows you by the first name.
Yeah. Huh?
At least he knows you by your first name.
Oh, definitely. He says we've got a subpoena here to turn over all of our archives of email and all this other stuff, and you know they basically don't keep all that stuff. And he said this is ridiculous. I told him what was going on. He said this is outrageous. He couldn't believe it. Yeah, I know this guy well, and he was very very irritated with what was going on. And they turned over what they had and. My email does not consist of much more than orders and a howdy doody, so whatever they got, I hope they got a thrill out of it.
212-209-2950. We're up to $5,285. That's pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah.
And it shows the power of listeners and shows what important things our guests have to say tonight. Please show your support by calling us. You're not only showing support for the radio station, you're showing support for people like Daniel Morgan, for people... like our friend in Belgrade, for people like Kevin Mitnick, for people like Bernie S., all those people who stand up for freedom of speech, for what it's all about. 212-209-2950. We've been here for 3 hours tonight. We're pretty tired, but we're going to try and see Star Wars after midnight and see, see if that works
home.
Out. Yeah, maybe we'll talk.
I'll hear about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll hear about it.
How's Kevin doing, by the way?
Well, you know, as good as somebody can do inside prison for over 4 years, it's horrible. Really, it's terrible. It's the nightmare never seems to end, and they don't seem to ever want to stop making him pay for what they consider to be a crime. It's the same goonish mentality that we see in so many places these days, whether it's a civil lawsuit, whether it's prosecutors in a federal case, or you know, army soldiers in a foreign country trying to intimidate people. It's really sad, but individuals have power, and that's the point we're trying to get across tonight. 212-209-2950. Daniel, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and wish you all the luck with the upcoming lawsuit. Again, if anybody out there can help with your particular case, how can they contact you?
They can reach us here at our office at 517-685-3410.
Okay. And do you have any kind of email or anything like that?
Yes, I do. It's D Morgan. That's D-M-O-R-G-A-N. D-B at i-star, STAR.com.
Is that the account that gets subpoenaed?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Want to give that email one more time?
Sure enough. It's D Morgan, that's D-M-O-R-G-A-N, D-B at i-star, STAR.com.
Okay. Again, thanks. Best of luck to you. We'll be following this case in the future, and I look forward to reading future issues of Satellite Watch News. I think it's a really cool zine.
Emmanuel, hey, it's been my pleasure, and 2600 does rock.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bernie S., thank you for joining us from Philadelphia, even though we can barely hear you. And we'll of course be in touch with you over the next few weeks, and of course our next show will be in 2 weeks. I'm really glad I went out to Dayton because the people there were great, and I got to meet people like Dan.
That's
you know, who,
I missed
it. Yeah, who had a lot of things to say. And there are a lot of people out there who do have much to say, and fortunately here at BAI, we have a means of bringing those people together, and you have a means of showing support for that. One last time, 212-209-2950. We have three packages for you. You can subscribe, or you can, by subscribing to BAI, you get Satellite Watch News delivered to your house or post office box or office or wherever you want. Or a friend, you know, wherever you want it to be sent.
Now, can they still call even though we're not on the air?
Yeah, but they better hurry because this isn't going to be talked about much more after this show. We have a special comic book special coming up for 2 hours. In fact, people listening on Real Audio, stay tuned because this show is going to be continued to be carried on Real Audio. We're doing that as a special public service. 212-209-2950 for $75. You get the Satellite Watch News and the secret videotape. Well, it's not so secret. It's what they want to outlaw, to make it illegal to have this videotape. So get it soon before they succeed. And, of course, you get the 2600 T-shirt. That's for $75. For $150, you get all four CD-ROMs of all our shows from 1988 to 1997. 100 hours per CD. All you need is a computer and a CD-ROM drive. And, you again get a 2600 T-shirt. That's $150. And $250 every back issue of 2600 from 1984 to 1999. Well worth twice this amount. And if you add in the T-shirt, it's worth even more. It's $250 pledge. 212-209-2950. It's Emmanuel Goldstein for Isaac. Thank you very much for coming in.
No problem.
Laszlo, thanks for making the pilgrimage from commercial radio.
It was a long, ugly road.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll keep you on our side here.
Right on.
And hopefully we'll have you back again sometime. Our number at this point, 5,485. Thanks very much to everybody who called in and pledged. I also want to give a special thanks to the Real Audio crew, Dwince, Shiflock, Sino, Jules, Darktech, Absolute Zero, and to the MP3 crew, Anakin, Timrek, Droop the Snowdog, and also thanks to Nate G for the custom stat program. These are the people who bring you the sounds of Off the Hook over the air, over the net, every week. I want to thank them very much. And also thanks very much to Pork Shop, and happy birthday to Pork Shop for helping us out week after week. Okay, that's it. Good night. We'll be back in 2 weeks.